The prophet Ezekiel. Prophet Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel 33, and it's page 1036 in my Bible. Verse 11. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord Jehovah, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? The Roman epistle, Romans chapter 3, the end of verse 22. Romans chapter 3 and the end of verse 22. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him may not perish, but have life eternal. One last scripture in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. And salvation is in none other, for neither is there another name under heaven which is given among men by which we must be saved. I was struck with the beginning of this verse in Ezekiel 33. It says, say unto them. Say unto them. God has something to say to us tonight. The Saviour God, the great Almighty God, has something to say to each one of us individually. The Creator God, the one who holds our very breath in his hands, and he's got something to say to us individually tonight. There's only one true living God. We read the boys and girls calendar to the grandchildren last week, and it said that in Egypt there was many gods. But tonight I can tell you that that is still the same situation in this world. Tonight there's many gods, dead gods. There's only one living God, and he wants to say something to each one of us tonight. And the first thing he wants to tell you is that he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. No pleasure in the death of the wicked. Scripture says that precious in the sight of Jehovah is the death of his saints. But he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. What does that tell you, friends? It tells you something of the heart of God. That the heart of God is towards his creature for blessing. And you need to take account of it. It's not an austere God that you cannot speak to. You cannot take account of it. It's a God who cares for you. A God who loves you. And he's proved that love in the way he has come out. And he's saying to you tonight, if someone passes from time into eternity Christless, God takes no pleasure in it. None at all. And the answer is, he wants you to consider what he's offering tonight. What he's offering boys and girls and older people. What is he offering tonight? Without money and without price. And he's speaking to each heart here, even the preacher. Now it says here, as I live, saith the Lord Jehovah, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. You know, there's no life outside of what God is offering in Christ. None at all. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? Yes, written to Israel, by extension to you and to me, that God has no pleasure in the death of someone passing from time with no hope, no future, no security, and going into a Christless eternity. God has no pleasure in it, none at all. What is the answer? Where do you stand in relation to this God? Well, he wants to tell you something else. And in the epistle to the Romans where we read, it says there, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No difference. Whether you're black or white, whether you're English or Scottish or Irish, or whether you come from any other country in the world, there's no difference. No difference. All have sinned and come short of God's glory. And God is reminding that of us tonight, that where do we stand before God? We stand before Him as sinners, without hope in this world, if we have not taken off up His offer of grace that is freely available in this wonderful dispensation. Where did it all begin? It all began about 6,000 years ago when man was planted in the Garden of Eden. Certain restrictions were put upon him. And because of the disobedience of the one man, you and I and everybody else were constituted sinners before a holy and a righteous God. And there it says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's a terrible thing, you know, to come short in anything. Come short. You're just lacking in something. God is telling you where you stand before Him tonight. Make it clear where you stand, that all have sinned. If you're a sinner, you need a Savior. If you're a sinner, you need a Savior. And God has provided it in a glorious man. But we need to realize where we stand with Him. We think we've got a good life. And we keep the law, we stop at the red lights and so on and so forth. Or maybe we don't. But we need to understand where we stand before a holy and a righteous God, that we're sinners. And one thing you must realize, you cannot save yourself. No matter what you do, no matter what a good life you go on with, you don't do anything wrong, you're still a sinner and you need a Savior. And that Savior has been provided by God Himself. And God is wanting to tell you about Him tonight. And in that condensation, a condensing of the gospel, we have it in John 3:16. For God so loved the world. This verse is divided into two parts. And the first part is all about God. And the second part is all about you and me and how we respond to it. But the first part is important. That God has recognized that He's lost His creature. The greatest part of His creation, of God's creation, is you and I. He said when man was created, it was very good, very good. And God lost it when sin came into the world. This great divide, this distance that came in between God and man, between His creator and His creature. And God felt it, you know. And God went on with His earthly people for so long. And it came upon a time, when God said that this matter would have to be dealt with. Man couldn't deal with it. The offerings couldn't deal with it. The blood of bulls and goats couldn't deal with it. It says here in John 3:16 that God so loved the world. Isn't that touching? The world of you and me. The world of boys and girls. The world of men and women. That God so loved the world that he missed them. He said to Adam, you know, when sin had come in, he came down in the cool of the day. And he said, "Where art you? Where art thou?" Dear friend, may I appeal, where are you in relation to God tonight? God wants your presence. God wants you to be saved for time and for the whole of eternity. So it says, God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Wonderful to take account of what God has provided for you and me. The very best, his only begotten Son. And who was he? The Lord Jesus Christ. Coming in as a babe in Bethlehem's manger, we're reminded of it at this time of year. Grew up as a tender sapling, a root out of a dry ground. No form or comeliness. Went through boyhood and manhood, then came out into his public ministry. And there he exhibited the heart of God, the mind of God. He was obedient in every footstep that he took. Never one distanced itself from the will of God. He went on and healed mankind in every aspect. Met the need of mankind, raised the dead, changed the living. As a time came when that spotless, sinless Lamb of God had to meet my sins and your sins. Because it says in Isaiah 53, I have laid upon him the iniquity of us all. That affects my heart, you know, the burden, the weight of the sins that Jesus bore on my behalf to bring me into blessing and have a secure future in himself. Went on to Calvary, a mock trial. So we're reminded this afternoon he was silent before Herod. The sheep before his shearers, he opened not his mouth. What a person he was. How attractive is the Lord Jesus Christ. Broken flax, flame would not quench. Think of the greatness and tenderness of God's provision. His well-beloved Son. And he knew that there was no other one and there was no other way could meet your need and my need and could execute everything according to God's holiness and righteousness. But Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ, he went to the cross, hung there between heaven and earth. If I be lifted up, I will draw all unto me. Wonder if everyone here has been drawn to Jesus to accept him as their Savior and Lord. Because the second part of the verse says, Son, that whosoever believes on him may not perish, but have life eternal. Tonight, dear friends, I want to ask you, are you encompassed in the whosoever tonight? Whosoever believes on him. You need to believe by faith that Jesus has died for you. He shed his precious blood for you. He's shown his love in all its greatness and perfection. They said at the cross, you know, he saved others. Himself he could not save. He could have called on legions of angels, but he died alone for you and I. Solemn thing to take account of. And this is our now responsibility. Everything from God's side has been executed. He's given His best. He's given His well-beloved Son. He's gone the whole way, perfect pathway. One could say, in Him sin was not. And yet, He became the sin bearer. He became the sin bearer. He took my sins in His body on the tree. Has He taken your sins? Have you accepted Him as your own precious Savior, you know? And know the peace and joy of believing. Know the certainty of the future. Brought into sanctification, set apart for His will and testimony until He comes back to take us to be with Himself. What a person He is. Sometimes say He's the all the way home Savior. And He's the one who loves you like none other. Your mom and dad loves you. Your granddad and granddad loves them. But no one loves us like Jesus. He loves, sticks closer than a brother, indeed. Friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Dear friends, tonight I appeal to your hearts that God has not only given His best, He's given His all. And the Lord Jesus, in these 3 hours of darkness, paid the price for your sins and my sins. And God is reminding us about it tonight. And He's saying, repent now. Behold, now is the well-accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We're getting to the end of another year. Another year has nearly passed. Are you going to let it pass and perhaps not find that 2025 will come about? And lose the opportunity. Now is the time. Be wise. Accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. Because, my friend, there's none other. There's none other. And Peter says that in the Acts of the Apostles where we read. There's none other. You see, the second scripture we read that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no escape. You know, when the police go to a house to arrest a person, what they normally do is they check all the entrances and exits and the windows and have all that covered, so that the perpetrator of the crime that they're looking for has no way to escape, and they'll be able to reprimand him, catch him, and put cuffs on him. You know, my friend, that as we stand, that all have sinned, there's no way of escape except by Jesus. By trusting Him as your own personal Savior. And Peter says this in Acts chapter 4. And salvation is in none other. For neither is there another name under heaven. Think of the immensity of that. Under heaven. Which is given among men. By which we must be saved. Being saved is a necessity. A necessity. It's not an option. If you're not saved, you're lost. And it's a solemn thing to be lost for the whole of eternity. And God is saying that to us tonight. As it said at the beginning of that verse in Ezekiel, say unto them, these are the things that I had an impression that God would say unto us tonight, that He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He tells us where we stand, that all have sinned and come short of His glory. He's provided a Savior in Christ, His well-beloved Son. And He said, well, the responsibility is now on you. Whoever believes on Him shall enter into this wonderful eternal life. And there's none other by which you can be saved. Turn to Christ tonight in your hopelessness and helpless state, and accept Christ as your own Savior for His name's sake.